Lamentations 3:20 through 24. My soul continually thinks of it and is bound down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Romans 8:31-39. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not with him also give us everything? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died. Yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of God? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Barb. Are you all right? Okay. It's what I call the stair dance on that one. Hey, if you were able to drive around Harrisonville, Missouri yesterday, you might have noticed that there were quite a few United States flags that were flying on businesses and on churches. In fact, there was a United States flag that was posted on our outdoor sign here in our parking lot. And why that was is because Rotary Club here in Harrisonville has this tradition that on special days in the United States, they will go out and they will post United States flags for all the churches and businesses that choose to participate. And we are a church that participates in that custom, as is a Lady of Lourdes next door. And yesterday morning, I was out with my friend Gabe Schweitzer, and we were working a route, and at around a little after 7 a.m. yesterday morning, I put that flag on our outdoor sign, and about 5:40 p.m., I came and I picked up that flag that was on the sign. And the reason why we do that, why Rotary does that, is that it wants to lift up special days in the United States. Those days are Memorial Day and Flag Day, Independence Day, Labor Day, Veterans Day, and yesterday, the newest observance that we've been doing for the last 19 years, and that's Patriot Day. And that's the day when we remember and we observed that on September 11th, 2001, we remember the lives lost in a coordinated terrorist attack by Al-Qaeda against the United States. We remember that date and we mourn, but we also remember that we have a God who is always faithful. Amen? And that God who is with us even when the days are dark. Even when all hope seems lost, our God is with us, and our God loves us, and our God empowers us, and our God calls us, each and every one of us, that when we encounter violence, we offer peace. When we encounter hate, we offer love. It was 20 years ago yesterday. Boy, sometimes it seems like it was just yesterday. Sometimes it seems like it was 50 years ago, doesn't it? And I'm cognizant of the fact that there are people who are listening to this message today, people who are worshiping with us today, that don't remember the world the way it was pre-9/11. For those who are in their early 20s and younger, you don't have a memory or weren't there when things happened. But that's why it's important to remember, to share stories and to share stories with the next generations, with our children, with our grandchildren, with our great-grandchildren. Some of the stories that we share are, where were we when we first knew or when we actually witnessed the attacks on 9/11? For me, I was in seminary at St. Paul's School of Theology, on break from a 3-hour class, down in the break room, when I noticed that there were a group of people that were gathering around the single, really tiny television set in that break room. And I had to see what was going on. So I pushed my way in that crowd, and there we were witness to how 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists in 4 planes caused the destruction of the 2 towers of the World Trade Center, heavily damaged the Pentagon and Washington, D.C., and one plane, Flight 93, who crashed in a forest in Pennsylvania because the souls on that flight were able to overpower the terrorists and divert them from their original target. I have my story. If that sounds familiar to you, it's because I've shared it with you before. I shared it with you on September 11th, 2016. But you have your own stories. I had just recently read an article by Stephen Greenhouse. He's a retired New York Times reporter who wrote an article for AARP magazine. It was called Voices of 9/11. And I want to share some of the memories of those who were there and some of their memories. Now, I want to warn you that what I share with you will touch your heart, break your heart. It did mine. And I invite you, though, to hear these voices. This is from Ada Rosario Dolch, who's principal of the Leadership and Public Service High School that was located 3 blocks south of the Twin Towers. And after the first plane hit the towers, Ms. Dolch shares that, "I was in the school lobby greeting students. One of them says, 'A plane hit the World Trade Center building.' I thought to myself, surely a little piper. The student, though, said, 'A big one.' And I said, 'What do you mean, a big one?' And she said, 'It looks really bad, Mrs. Dolch.' After the South Tower was hit and subsequently collapsed, Ada Dolch remembers, she said, we had evacuated all the students to the south toward Battery Park. As we were crossing the park, I heard the sound that I always describe as a snap, crackle, pop. And I looked back and I thought the world had come to an end. Every time I think about it, I shiver. It was a tsunami wave of dirt and debris just behind us." Hear this voice from Specialist Bo Dobrinsky, a soldier with the 3rd U.S. Infantry Regiment who was at the Pentagon. He was working as a Pentagon tour guide. And after American Airlines Flight 77 crashed into the western side of the Pentagon, Dobrinsky shares, "All of a sudden, this one airman comes running up the bottom ramp, and he's just beat red, and he screamed, 'We've got to get you out of here. A plane just hit the Pentagon.' It was a lot of chaos. We tackled people who were on fire and put them out." from Stephen M. Clark, who is currently the superintendent of National Parks of Western Pennsylvania, which includes the Flight 93 National Memorial. After the flight had caused the terrorists to divert from their target and crash into the forest in Pennsylvania, Clark shares that the airplane that was taken by the terrorists at 9:28 and didn't crash until 10:03. So what happened during that time frame is nothing short of miraculous. The passengers knew they were part of some type of suicide mission. Yet they had the courage to take a vote and then implement a plan to try and retake the plane. They simply ran out of time. That airplane was only 18 minutes from Washington, D.C. That particular morning, both houses of Congress were to be in session. They had over 4,500 people working in or around the Capitol building. You had congressmen and women. You had the incredible symbol of democracy. You had employees. You had visitors. So there's no doubt that those 40 people saved countless lives. How did we deal with this loss, this tragedy so long ago? How are we dealing with it now, and the consequences of 9/11 as we fought a war in Afghanistan and an engagement that lasted until just recently? And we fought other wars across this planet. How do we deal with this loss? Well, the writer of Lamentations had an answer to that. And part of what we do when we remember is we lament. How many of you have read Lamentations? Okay, I see a few hands. By its very name, Lamentations, it doesn't sound like it's going to be a hope-filled book, does it? 5 chapters, each one a poem, a hymn of lament about the fall of Jerusalem, the fall of the kingdom of Judah in 587 BCE to the Babylonian Empire. And I talk a lot about that time in history, about a kingdom that fell and people that were put in exile. And sometimes I got to say that when I'm sharing this history, this ancient history, I realize that, well, that was a long time ago, Kevin. You read Lamentations and you hear the voice of the people and it is fresh for you. And you see a people that are dealing with devastation in their life, with the bitterness of their existence. And it is real, and it will break your heart. And yet, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of turmoil, we hear the words that Barb shared with us today. We hear hope. Yeah. The writer of Lamentations finds hope. And in the midst of all the turmoil, the writer of Lamentations says, we turn to God, a God who is always faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Yes, this is the scripture, the founding scripture for that hymn that many of us love. Great is thy faithfulness. One of the best hymns of the 20th century. It's written in the 1920s. I think some of us thought that was an older hymn than that, but it's relatively new. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. And with a faithful God, then we can be faithful to that God in the midst of darkness. We can be faithful each and every day to a God who is with us, even in the midst of the darkness that we encounter, so that we can be filled with God's love, light, and hope, and we can share that love, light, and hope with others. The Apostle Paul carries on that theme in Romans, doesn't he? When he comes to one of our favorite passages, I think, and that's Romans 8:31-39. Out of all the passages in Romans, I think I see that one shared the most on Facebook and other social media. But there's a lot before we get to that chapter. And if you read the first seven chapters of Romans, you may be a little bit more discouraged there. But they're important chapters. Because what Paul is trying to do is he's trying to explain, he's trying to argue of why we need Jesus Christ. And it's because we stink. We stink of sin. And on our own, there is no way that we can be rid of that stink of sin. Only through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ can we be free of that stench, and we can be connected to our God, heirs of God's family. And that is good news. And that is why we find Paul's words, if God is for us, who can be against us? And there is nothing, absolutely nothing, say that with me, nothing that can take us away from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Not even terrorists. We remember 9/11. We remember the lives lost, but we also remember that for the past 20 years, God has been present and God has been empowering and encouraging and bringing new life in the midst of the darkness that we have experienced. And I want to share a few more voices from 9/11 with you that Stephen Greenhouse shares. This is from Salvador Cassano, who is a fire department chief in New York City. He was an assistant chief of operations, and he became chief of operations after September 11th. And he shares, as much evil as there was that day, there was also much good. I mean, the people who came to help us from all over the country, all over the world, we couldn't have done it alone. Ada Rosario Dulce, the principal that we heard from earlier. There was a long time during which I didn't care for myself. And emotionally, I was a mess. But I didn't really know that until a good 2 years later. I finally asked myself, why do I feel almost catatonic most of the time? Why am I still jumping every time there's a siren? I did a lot of resiliency work, talking and writing, and learning to appreciate the moon and the sun and the stars, the skies, and the creator of the moon, the sun, and the stars. This is from Port Authority Police Lieutenant Keegan. In his reflections for the last 20 years, he said, this country came together. We found that what makes us human together is that people hurt the same way. No matter what your political affiliation is, no matter what the color of your skin is, what your religion is, seeing how we came together and seeing the goodness of people, I think that's something we need to take forward into this COVID situation and further on. Twenty years ago yesterday, the world changed and so did we. We had tragedies before September 11, 2001. We've had turmoil and tragedy since then. But in that time, we have seen a resiliency of the human spirit. We have seen men and women step up to help people who are in need, to help save lives. The doctors and the nurses and the medical professionals now in this COVID crisis, the school teachers and professionals and all those that are working in our schools with our students, helping them to deal with what's going on, the parents and the grandparents and the aunts and uncles, helping their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to know what the world can be, even though evil can lash out. And that's where the human spirit has been amazing. 20 years ago, the world changed and so did we. But one thing that didn't change was God. God's faithfulness, God's love, God's light, God's hope. And this is God who calls us to encounter our world and offer something different. So this is our call. This is how we honor the memory of the lives lost on that day 20 years ago and beyond in the armed conflict since then. We do so by this way. When we encounter darkness, we offer light. When we encounter fear, we offer hope. When we encounter hate, we offer love. And when we encounter death, we offer resurrection. That is our call. Let's begin right now. Amen. Now, before our final hymn, I want us to be in a time of prayer. And I'm going to come out here amongst you. And I want you to hear the words of this prayer as we remember. And put these words onto your heart. If you'd like to, you can bow your heads or you can focus on the resurrection cross in front of you here. Let us pray. Lord God, we come together with persons all over the world to remember the day our world changed. We come together in faith, in hope, and in your infinite love. Heavenly Father, we commend to your mercy and grace all who died in the September 11th attacks and all who have died in the past 20 years while laboring to end terrorism. In New York City, 2,342 persons. In Arlington, Virginia, 184 persons. In Shanksville, Pennsylvania, 40 persons. 411 New York City rescue workers that day, plus so many more from the after effects. Thousands of military personnel and civilians in the following years of war. Over 70 countries lost loved ones that day. Family members, friends, co-workers, neighbors, heroes. In the face of all this loss, we claim your grace, your faithfulness, and your power to bring good out of evil. Compassionate one, it has been 20 years. Yet the pain is fresh and the need is great. Comfort all those who continue to mourn the loss of loved ones. Come with assurance and peace for all who remain traumatized and anxious or fearful for the future. Come with protection and freedom for all who continue to live in the midst of hostility and oppression. Bring wholeness and hope to every broken place, to broken bodies, broken hearts, and broken spirits, to broken relationships, broken systems, and broken faith. Draw together leaders of every nation. Give them ears to hear your wisdom and the courage to respond. Inspire them to work together for peace, justice, and freedom. Inspire us too. Strengthen all who risk their lives to protect others. Guard and favor all who work to make your world a place of peace. Guard and guide us too. God of the nations, hear our prayer. For our enemies and for ourselves, help us love and pray for those who hate us. We claim your abiding, your love, your humility, and your strength as we strive to fulfill this call. Save us from revenge, false teaching, and blind suspicion. Help us recognize our contributions to conflict. Help us to understand the hurt that feeds the hate. Change the hearts of all who seek your will change the hearts of all who seek their way by evil and violent means, by coercion and corruption and privilege, including our own. Create in us clean hearts, Lord, that beat with your unconditional compassion. Leave no one in the shadows of evil and death, O God. Fill us with your light and make us all instruments of your peace. Our world remains a dangerous place, O God. But with you, there is shalom, wholeness, and hope. With you, there is persevering and purpose. You are our rock. You are our shield. You are our defender forever. Amen.